Yamana Javate Manaha
Ketanya Ketayasasam
Ketanya Ketayasasam
Punya Shokaya Shaskaram
Punya Swakaya Shaskaram
Jaya Devam Samakrangam
Jaya Devam Samakrangam
Yamana Javate Manaha
Yamana Javate Manaha
Kirtanya,
Kirtanya,
worth singing,
worth singing.
Kirta Yashasam,
Kirta Yashasam.
The glories of the Lord,
the glories of the Lord.
Punyashloka,
Punyashloka.
Of the devotees,
of the devotees.
Yashakaram,
Yashaskaram.
Enhancing the glory,
enhancing the glory.
Jayet,
Jayet.
One should meditate,
one should meditate.
Devam,
Devam.
Upon the Lord,
upon the Lord.
Samagrangam,
Samagrangam.
All the limbs,
all the limbs.
Yavat,
Yavat.
As much as,
as much as.
Not. Shavate,
Shavate.
Deviate, Manaha.
Manaha.
The mind.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
The glory of the Lord is always worth singing, for His glories enhance the glories of His devotees. One should therefore meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and upon His devotees. One should meditate on the eternal form of the Lord until the mind becomes fixed.
Is the verse on the board in English?
Yes, please.
One has to fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. One is accustomed to thinking of one of the innumerable forms of the Lord, Krishna, Vishnu, Rama, Narayana, etc. He has reached the perfection of yoga. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. A person who has developed pure love for the Lord and whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of transcendental loving exchange always sees within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotees especially see the Lord in the beautiful blackish form of Shyamasundara. That is the perfection of yoga. This yoga system should be continued until the mind does not vacillate for a moment, say wander. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Vashanti Suraya. The form of Vishnu is the highest individuality and is always visible to sages and saintly persons. The same purpose is served when a devotee worships the form of the Lord in the temple. There is no difference between devotional service in the temple and meditation on the form of the Lord. Since the form of the Lord is the same, whether He appears within the mind or in some concrete element, there are 8 kinds of forms recommended for the devotees to see. The forms may be made out of sand, clay, wood, or stone. They may be contemplated within the mind, or made of jewels, metal, or painted colors. But all the forms are of the same value. It is not that one who meditates on the form within the mind sees differently from one who worships the form in the temple. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute, and there is therefore no difference between the two. The impersonalists who desire to disregard the eternal form of the Lord imagine some round figure. They especially prefer the Omkara, which also has form. It's kind of roundish. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that Omkara is the letter form of the Lord. Similarly, there are statue forms and painting forms of the Lord. Another significant word in this verse is Punyashloka Nishaskaram. The devotee is called Punyashloka. As one becomes purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord, so one can become purified simply by chanting the name of a holy devotee. The pure devotee of the Lord and the Lord himself are non-different. It is sometimes feasible to chant the name of a holy devotee. This is a very sanctified process. Lord Chaitanya was once chanting the holy names of the gopis when his students criticized him. "Why are you chanting the names of the gopis? Why not Krishna?" Lord Chaitanya was irritated by the criticism. And so there was some misunderstanding between him and his students. He wanted to chastise them for desiring to instruct him on the transcendental process of chanting. The beauty of the Lord is that the devotees who are connected with his activities are also glorified. Arjuna, Prahlad, Janak Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, and many other devotees were not even in the renounced order of life, but were householders. Some of them, such as Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, were born of demoniac families. Prahlad Maharaj's father was a demon, and Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. But still, they have become famous because of their association with the Lord. Anyone who is eternally associated with the Lord is glorified with the Lord. The conclusion is that a perfect yogi should always be accustomed to seeing the form of the Lord. Unless the mind is fixed in that way, you should continue practicing yoga. End of purport. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mukham Kuruti Vachalam. This is say the essence of yoga in this verse, the ultimate goal of the yogic practice, to reach the stage which sometimes termed as samadhi, whose consciousness is completely fixed, undisturbed. Bhagavad Gita, even right at the very beginning, we find instructions from the Lord to Arjuna to fix his mind, not just to withdraw his mind from the material objects. Mind has to be focused on something. It never stops, whether it's the round form of the impersonal Brahman, whether it's the two-armed form of Krishna, whether it's material objects, material aspirations. The mind doesn't stop. All his thoughts are coming. Krishna explains them like rivers entering into the ocean. They never stop flowing. Or the waves of the ocean never stop coming. So yoga is the process of not just becoming undisturbed by the waves of material desire. And as Krishna explained, it's to actually develop a higher state of thought, instead of just having to fight to withdraw one's senses from the material sense objects, but the process of focusing our mind on something higher, Param Dushra Vartate, the Vaima Krishna Padavadindava, Chamsi Vatamka Nandavadindava, one great devotee named King Ambarish, how he demonstrated how we can fully engage our mind without engaging the senses appropriately. It's very hard to focus our minds. Senses are like lenses of the camera. They're constantly taking images, impressions through the ears, the eyes, the nose, the song, the tongue, the touch. Constantly taking impressions of our interaction with the material world, with other living entities, which are impressed upon our mental plane, which is like a mirror reflecting those impressions. The process of Krishna consciousness is described by, I don't know, maybe in this chapter by Lord Kapila, how he describes how Lord Shiva becomes very auspicious. He's already auspicious, Shiva means auspicious, most auspicious. He becomes still more auspicious by taking the water which has washed Lord Vishnu's lotus feet upon his head. Because that water, you know, is the Ganga in this group, that water, because it's touched the Lord's lotus feet, has become completely unlimitedly sanctified, purified, auspicious. Anyone who touches that water also gains that opportunity to become auspicious. And he takes that water on his head, all humility. As you can see, we were reading yesterday, what makes a man a king is not the crown upon his head, but when his head is adorned. And when he makes the crown on his head, the lotus feet of the Lord, that's what makes a king a king. That's some artificial, reflective idea that there's something special in this world. The one who's taken that lotus feet of the Lord is his crown. Places his head humbly at the Lord's lotus feet. Then it goes on just as deep. Because meditation on the Lord's lotus feet acts just like the thunderbolt of King Indra, which smashes mountains to pieces. And Prabhupada describes at length how meditation on the Lord destroys them. As Indra smashes mountains with his thunderbolt, meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord smashes mountains of sin within our hearts, the pieces. When we say sin, many people think of just maybe some reaction, some thoughts about sinful activity. It's a very almost all-pervasive covering of our consciousness, deep cloud. It's like there's a very deep cloud in the sky. Generally has very heavy rainfall. Under certain circumstances, the rain comes down. And it can be very heavy. So these impressions in our heart, kuttas and bijas, tendencies and desires, are results of our past activity. In others, we sometimes tend to identify ourselves with them. Nothing unusual as being me, but they're not. They're just visions, pictures on the mental plane, the subtle plane, of various impressions we picked up over our sojourn in this Brahmanda, this material world. The secret of yoga is to focus using our intelligence on something which will purify. not just replace. We may be able to replace those thoughts with other things. We will endeavor to replace bad thoughts with good ones. Bad action with good action. Maybe some endeavor is there if they understand what good and bad are. But that alone is not sufficient. That just means that our condition is still within the modes of nature in the material world. We have to focus on something which will purify. We can't do it though. We may desire. Yeah, of course there has to be a desire there. And emphasis is placed here on the desire of the devotees. It's like when Prabhupada came to the Western world, he explained how by your will, my Lord, all the living entities have come into this material world. And by your will, they can all be delivered from this world. The relative meaning of that, from our perspective, is that because of our desire, the Lord has placed us in this world. Otherwise, we can't come here. It's not within our power. And we may desire to get out of this world, but it's not within our power to get out of it. It's only when the Lord wills. We have to get His will. He's left His will in the form of Bhagavad Gita. He leaves His will through His pure devotees. These are non-different than Krishna. By meditating on Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in 18th chapter, one who reads this Bhagavad Gita worships me with his intelligence. Worshipping Krishna, studying Bhagavad Gita. In many ways, as Prabhupada mentioned here, worship, remembering Krishna. Directly or indirectly, we may not even be conscious that we remember Krishna. It's a good fortune. People have this opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, to get Srila Prabhupada's books, take prasad in so many ways. They don't know necessarily what's going on any more than they may be hearing some people dance and sing and it sounds good, and eating some nice tasty vegetarian food. They're getting an imperceptible good fortune. Touching the saint, the lotus feet of the Lord, thus becoming purified. It purifies us of the tendencies and desires. The more we focus our consciousness on the transcendence, the emphasis placed here upon the form of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, which verse, maybe in the 18th chapter. Under the study of the Gita, every page has got more marks on than there aren't marks. May as well just mark the whole book. Every word is transcendental. I think it's text 65, I may be wrong. Let's see. Maybe 65. Here we are. Yeah, maybe this is it. These words, this is the very famous verse, 65, 18th chapter. Who knows this verse? This is kind of in line with today's verse in the Bible. Time. Pardon? Yeah, we're on the right track there. Finish it off. Very good. What's that mean? Always think of me, right? Always think of me. Is it? Is that what we do? Always think of myself. Eh? Think of your own so-called self, anyway. All the desires that I've got, all the various wants, and so on and so forth. Thinking about how I'm going to fulfill my desires, my family, my house, my money, my position. My war, excuse me, so many things. I was thinking my something. I would be in the center when Krishna is speaking. Think of him. Why not think of him? Why not think of someone else? Why Krishna? Why not someone else? Why not your boyfriend? Your girlfriend? Your dog? Mr. Trump, somebody in there, think of somebody. He thought probably more people in the world are thinking of him than anyone else. Right? Isn't it? You think I'm famous, it's incredible. whatever it is, who knows? It's a whole row of, not everybody, but so many people just... This whole last night in Melbourne, so many people, lots of people walking through the streets, thinking of Mr. Trump, and meditating on Trump. They don't understand the solution. Just the other side of the same coin. The consciousness has to be changed. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said in one of his lectures, he said, one who thinks he can reform the world is in need of reform. No one can change the world but by the breadth of the hair. Everything is allowed or ordained by the supreme will of the Almighty. The only reform which is required is a reform of how we see the world and our perception. We're so busy in trying to change the world, thinking that's going to be the solution, but it won't be. Moving the problem from this side to that side. The problem remains that we're an illusion. We've forgotten our identity. We're trying to adjust our false identity to be nice. But what's nice for me is not nice for you. Some people like it this way, and some people like it that way. We try to get some unity, but unity only comes when I get rid of you. Your unity. Get rid of it, and we have unity. Well, just in time we should warn karma. It's all entangling. There's a kind of an inkling of sentiment which may have some good points to it, but it doesn't solve the problem. Just puffing on a boil doesn't remove the boil. The problem still remains. We sit with this body. We attach this false impression on our minds. Bhaktisiddhanta said the only change is a change of how we perceive the world, our perception, and that can be evoked. It's not by going to school or university, studying some mundane philosophy, speculating, trying to work it out with our limited senses. That cannot adduction Krishnanality, no problem with Bhagavad Gita. It cannot be understood with our heart senses. As long as the heart is impure, this is not possible to comprehend. We may have some faith in it. We have to purify by exposing ourselves, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, exposing ourselves. Just like we're exposing ourselves to different things. You walk down the street, you look in a shop, you know, you see things in the shop, a picture is taken of some, and the girl and the women are going down looking at the latest fashions, the latest handbags, and the latest shoes, and the men are looking at the latest electronic gadgets, and the latest electronic cigarettes, or whatever they're looking at. And it forms an impression in your heart. And you think, you start thinking about it. Just like the other day, I was, long story, cut it short, they have to get a flask, a stainless steel flask, right? And for so long, there's so much discussion and meditation on it. Stupid flask. It's going to purify the earth by meditating on what kind of stainless steel flask to get. You could say it could be used in Krishna's service, so indirectly, yes. But, you know, we have to spend our whole day just doing things, meditating on what we're going to do. Where is Krishna? It's by meditating on the form of Krishna, the name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna. Prabhupada says here, these words, manmanabhavamanukto, always engage your mind. Thinking of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. When we go to Krishna, we have to think of, you know, it's when we think of things in the material world, for example, as giving a butterfly, well, that's a little different. Was it a cocoon? No, there's one fly, was it? The wasp captures this fly and hides it in some hole, and the fly or the creature, the insect, is just seeing the wasp all the time, meditates on the wasp and becomes a wasp. And by focusing our attention on something, or we focus our attention on so many things, any branch, But that determines our future. So we want to try what we want. We want to take birth as a vacuum flask in the next lifetime, or Mr. Trump, or whatever, a wall, or something like that. Some other form. Men meditating on women or something, women on men. We take birth as a man or a woman. It's such a whole big thing, we think we're men and women. This is the disease condition of life. That determines next life. This life we may be women, don't worry, you were men in your last life. You may be women in the previous life, but not one or the other. And then we get all hung up trying to establish ourselves as one or the other. We get our liberation, get our rights, get this, get that. There is no such thing as an illusion. The whole purpose is to get out of this material world, not come back. We don't belong in this world. Oh, it is a normal life. People sometimes say, well, what about normal life? This isn't normal life. Having to get old, die, suffer diseases. Is it normal? What have you got wrong with your body right now? Tell me. Some complaint, the body and mind, isn't it? Almost always. Baranga smashed his head on your low-lying tree in the courtyard yesterday. Right? Always something going on. I'm mental distress. I got a little boil or something on the bottom of my tongue right now. It's always something, right? You're worried something happened back home. Oh my goodness, oh my God. You lost your keys. Oh no. Someone broke into the car and stole my keys. The whole trip these days, because it's all digital stuff, you know. You can do what you want, open up, you can find it with, open the door. The app, it's such a headache we're creating for ourselves. So much hassle yesterday, believe it or not, obviously you know it quite well, a bank account in Zurich, or to speak of elsewhere. The bank account couldn't be activated, right? And I found out why last night. I know the answer. Secret came through. Anyway, it was a bit of stress and stress. There's no end. This is not natural life. A natural thing, which we're accepting as natural. The point of the baseline, the natural thing is to die. It's not natural to die. If it was natural, we'd want, well, some people think they do. But generally, people don't want to die. We don't like getting diseased. To go to the doctor and then the doctor says, what's wrong with you? You say, problem is, I haven't got anything wrong. Can you give me some sickness, please? We've got some nice sickness there, but what type do you want? Well, maybe tuberculosis or some cancer. And try that one. Let me try that one. Do people do that? They have a shop. Disease shop. Get your diseases here. They call it hospital. It's supposed to cure disease. Sometimes you get disease. And a cheer of wood is that place. You think it's normal. I think we're crazy. Anybody in a shop to get diseases for? Going in there to suffer? To suffer. Nobody with a rightful mind would think of doing that. I mean, they may, as they're disturbed in another way, but generally speaking, we don't. But we do that. We're in this material world. We are so used to it, we think it's normal. You get used to things if you don't know anything else. Krishna's giving us an opportunity to understand something else. But as long as our mind is impure, we can't see it. We can't understand it. It's really big. Just by eating meat and taking intoxicated, this covers our consciousness. We can't see this transcendental importance of, and understand this material world is not where we belong. And what the importance of spiritual life is, because we're still too attached. To this material world, but to material Krishna, but to we're too attached. That's the sense of enjoyment and identifying with this body and family and the world around us, me and mine. This is the disease. We don't recognize it as a disease. In fact, people will say we're diseased if you don't think like that. If you say, problem is, I think I am my body. Go to the doctor and say, yes, well, what's your problem? Here we have Dr. Mahatma. What's your problem? He says, my doctor, dear doctor, please help me. and Billy said, "You look all right to me. I'm very, very, very sick. But what's the problem?" "I think I am my body." That's very serious. "Very serious problem. Just hold on 1 minute. I'll be back." Psychiatrist. "I've got a very dangerous character here. I think you should come immediately with some armed guards and take him away quickly. He's mad, completely mad." People may think like that sometimes, right? And Scarborough Book went on to a "Who is crazy?" They think this idea is crazy, and they think their idea is crazy. So if you think birth, death, disease, and old age and the threefold miseries which are enforced upon us are normal and good, and we should do nothing about it except to try to improve the suffering, good on you. But Krishna's giving us a chance to wake up. Why live in a dream world where you're having sometimes a nice dream, sometimes a nightmare, bewildered, floating around in this material world one life after life? Knowing or unknowing, it's somehow or another we remember Krishna. Somehow or another, engage your mind always in thinking of me, your works, your activities, your mind focused on me, intelligence focused on me, your work dedicated to me. And this way you attain me without a doubt. The process to learn the science of yoga is not just withdrawing ourselves from the material world. That does not work. Not sufficiently. Doesn't work sufficiently. I can't remember. One who withdraws himself, his mind from the sense objects, withdraws his senses rather from the sense object, whose mind dwells on sense objects, is a pretender, is a fool. We've got to purify our minds also. And that starts, as Prabhupada describes in the third chapter, first canto, how we have to, as Sutta Goswami says, now hear this, O sages, hear this message of Krishna Katha with rapt attention, as I have heard it. I will try to explain it to you, but you must hear with rapt attention. If you hear with rapt attention, then you will see Krishna on the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam promises. Hearing. As we become so colored by hearing so much material through the ears, nose, with eyes, tongue, everywhere, different impressions, we become completely colored, and we accept that as the reality is, form a particular perception of truth. It is illusion. Bhagavatam starts off by establishing truth from illusion for the benefit of all. The material world is completely under the influence of the most, and it is changing. People's perception or understanding of the world changes regularly according to different factors affecting them. That's called relative understanding, relative truth. It is not absolute. Whether it's science, philosophy, or whatever it may be, education, it is relative. Krishna's giving us the path to realize absolute truth. The path of the practice of yoga is not simply exercise. It's by channel changing our object of our goal of our life, in a sense, but the object of our vision. We have to purify our vision by Krishna is known as Pavitra. He's the purifier. He appears in many forms, the deity, holy name, in transcendental Bhagavatam, the devotees. They are all simultaneously one. You can say variety is there also, but they're because the pure devotee of the Lord can purify. When Vidura returned from his pilgrimage, and he came to the court of the Kauravas, Pandavas at that time. And then he was received with his dear dress, and you're more than a place of pilgrimage. His place of pilgrimage may purify after long use, long association. But by a moment's association, lava matra, sarva shastra kuri lava matra, sarva sangha, Another mantra, basically. Sabasanga, Sabasiri, Lord. So by a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord, moment, we don't know it. It's so powerful. Just like Prabhupada said, it is my will. It is my will, Krishna, that you please deliver them. The will of the devotee is very powerful. More powerful than anything. As we read yesterday in Chaitanya Bhagavata, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, if you don't worship my devotees, it's like you're cutting my own body. They're more dear, just like you, some of your parents, your children are more dear than your very self. If somebody says, I like you, but I don't like your son. Or your dog, nowadays it's dogs, not children. I like you, but I don't like your dog, and you give the dog a mighty boot over the wall. The dog goes flying over the wall. How would the man feel? He'll give you a mighty boot. The dog is more dear to him than his very self, practically speaking. It is inseparable. Krishna's devotees are more dear to him than his very self. It can be the pastime of Ambarish and Rasamuni. They're so dear to him. Krishna protects and loves his devotees more than his very self. So all these various ways of becoming purified by association with Kapila Deva space. Every learned man knows that the greatest entanglement in this world is our attachment to material sense gratification. The same material compassion. But that same attachment, when transferred to the self-realized souls, is the cause of one's freedom, deliverance from this world. And what do they teach us? They don't teach them. They don't teach us about them to think of him. They said no. But no. The period was teach us to think of Krishna, in his many forms. We don't think of the devotee because they're always with Krishna. Krishna's never alone. But the pure devotees always focus our attention by their living example, by their instructions, every way, to try to focus on Krishna. Therefore, the Lord has appeared as Radha Bhava, Jagannath Baladev, Siddhartha, Gauri, Tai, and so many other ways. They're all non-different. They're all expansions of the Supreme Personality of God, giving everyone a chance to get his association. And particularly in this age, Kali Kalera, Namarupa, Krishna, Avatar, the Lord has appeared in the form of name. Sometimes people say, well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yudhani, Dahi, Dhamma, Svetani, and Bhagavad Bharata, and so on. Why has he come now? Many people could ask that question right now, that's for sure. But unfortunately, they don't ask the question. They think the solution is an external one. It's not. Krishna has appeared now. He appeared last night in Swanson Street. And he's going to appear again today. South Bank today?
Where are you going?
Huh? Probably South Bank, 4 o'clock, South Bank. The Lord is appearing in the form of Sankirtan this afternoon. On the South Bank. East Bank, North Bank, West Bank, South Bank, every bank. Krishna's everywhere, but he reveals himself. So he's revealing himself on the South Bank this afternoon in the form of the Sankirtan. Otherwise, he's there already, but people don't understand it. And the more purity in the heart, Krishna reveals himself when the heart becomes pure. Isn't it? Isn't that the process? Krishna's already there. He's not there. It's just that the Krishna Prema Sajikala Nashravanishu Vichiti Kali Udai is already there. In fact, love for Krishna is already there. But we can't see. The heart has to become cleansed. By the process, Shravanadi, hearing and chanting about Krishna. And automatically, just like the sun rises, everything becomes clear. And the spectator, it becomes clear. In the dark, it's cloudy. And the spiritual master, through his instructions, is opening our eyes so we can see things clearly. Om Jnana Timaranta Syag Nanyana Shlakya. It's opening our eyes. We're blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Forgetting who we are. Thinking I'm this body. This is mine. I'm constantly trying to adjust this material world. No, just adjust our inner consciousness by associating with Krishna. We realize Krishna's everywhere. Never alone. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to gain in this material world. The only gain is to get out of it. I think it's something to gain. Everyone thinks it's something to gain. The real jewel is the process. Ultimate goal, the jewel is the Krishna himself and his devotees. But the jewel in terms of practice is that the means to get out of this material world, to get out of this wake up call. Lord Chaitanya is the wake up call. Jeep Jago, Lord Chaitanya. Wake up. You're sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya. And wake up. And they don't think they're asleep. The person who's asleep doesn't know it. Doesn't know it. I'm saying we even get that experience. You try to wake brahmacharis up sometimes. And they don't want to wake up. If we are half awake, go away, leave me alone. Get up. I'm sleeping. And any of us. Some people want to sleep. What can you do? People want to sleep. What do you do? I don't want to wake up. Leave me alone. Somebody say, basically, I've no time. Go away. Get a job. Go to sleep. Get lost. You're already lost. I mean, get lost. Get found, my friend. Lost and found. They don't want to know, you know. Too busy meditating on their next object of suffering. That's a sense of rescue. Round and round on the merry-go-round, not so merry sometimes. The Prabhupada says here that they're very, one should stress that one should concentrate his mind on Krishna 24 hours a day. Chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Take prasadam 24 hours a day. That's a good idea. Go for Sangatan 24 hours a day. It'd be nice. The very form with two hands, Prabhupada says clearly here. The very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers on his in his hair. And it's more beautiful. Krishna's the most beautiful. Why do we meditate on some physical form? Isn't it? Meditate on it. You take the skin off, will you still meditate? Peel off the skin. Even they say love is, or beauty, love is skin deep. You take the skin off this world. Do you still like this world? I don't know. You should do it. But if someone were to take the skin off Miss World, would she be Miss World? Yeah. Oh, goodness me, something's missing. Well, here it is. Have the skin. The only difference what you saw 5 minutes ago to what you see now is the skin. So take the skin. Deep power, you know, skin. Slimy skin. Yuck. Isn't it? When you take it, you know, it's very, Maya is so clever, she puts all these yucky things together and makes a so-called beautiful form, isn't it? The hairs, you pull all the hairs out, they're not really so beautiful. Neither is the head, the abdomen. Oh, your teeth are so beautiful. Okay, here you go, have some. Beautiful eyes, oh darling, your eyes are so beautiful. Okay, if you'd like, from here we go, leave me alone. You keep your eyes and let me go, okay? Here we go. Your nails, pull them off. Enough. And break it down. You got, yeah, liquid beauty. You got liquid beauty. But we're so captivated by it. And then, you know, after a few years, anyway, if it lasts that long, which it doesn't usually, the other object has changed its shape and form. There are crinkles, and it's a big fat belly sticking out, and a big fat bum, and, you know, can't remember, and crinkles, and groaning and moaning. It's not what it was 50, 60, 70 years ago. Maya so clever catches us by the hook. And Krishna's more clever. He's the cleverest of clever. Cheat amongst cheats. Krishna's a cheat amongst cheats. So he's capturing everyone imperceptibly through the tongue, through the ears, through the eyes, through the nose, every way. somehow or another, like Ambish Maharaj, trying to keep engaged, cleaning the temple, washing the pots, cleaning the windows, working in crossways, worshipping the deity, serving prasadam, giving donations for the service of the Lord, going on the street trying to chant Krishna's names, distributing books, and on and on and on. The list goes. Next week you have your Rathayatra festival in St. Kilda. Jai Jagannath. And he's giving his darshan to all the fortunate souls of St. Kilda who are on their way back to Godhead. And if anyone who sees Jagannath on the Rath car is on their way back to Godhead, you can't stop him. That impression will be in their hearts. They saw, they don't know who he is. He's a funny thing on top of a chariot. But he's not, he's Jagannath. And he captures him. The form with two hands. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. Prabhupada describes when we read the pastime of Gajendra, the elephant, and how he was delivered from the crocodile by remembering the impressions of his previous lifetime. And there Prabhupada describes how we should therefore, as he practiced in his previous life, he committed an offense and became an elephant, a dumb animal, to a sadhu. But he remembered that crucial point, the prayers of his previous lifetime, and he started to repeat them, and thus he was delivered. So Prabhupada says we should remember prayers, especially the Brahma Samhita. He mentioned the Brahma Samhita, to chant the Brahma Samhita, the beautiful prayers describing, just like one has mentioned the purport of the Bhagavatam today, Pranjana Chavita Bhakti Vilochani Santak Sadeva Dayeshu Lalokayanti Yom Shanta Sundara Machinta Nasyalopam Govinda Mahi Purusham Tamaham Vajrachani. It's only when the eyes are tinged with the sorrow of love can we actually see. By practicing devotional service, gradually that natural awakening of our attraction may be loved in the beginning, but our attraction to devotional service, and by engaging our senses in various ways in the service of Krishna, gradually we become purified of the anartas, we become steady, and then you get a real taste for hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna. And Krishna removes all the coverings in the heart. When you become attached to Krishna, then love of God starts to grow. It comes from the association of a pure devotee, somebody who can give us this opportunity. He gives this mercy. Srila Prabhupada has given the world an opportunity to assist what he wants. Temples everywhere, Harinam everywhere, books everywhere, prasadam everywhere, whatever, programs everywhere. Because this will deliver everywhere and everybody. If not immediately, but gradually our consciousness will become purified by exposure to Krishna or things related directly to Krishna, such as various services and so on. And that's the process. And Prabhupada goes on to say, this is how we change our consciousness. One should fix his mind on the original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. Some people may, because they've got an internal bow, but we're not on that level. So Prabhupada said we should fix our consciousness on Krishna. The Lord has multi-forms, like Vishnu, Narayana, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna, because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So we may say, I'm not a dear friend of Krishna. But if you, somehow or another, if someone assists, comes into contact with, follows a dear devotee of Krishna, they become dear to Krishna. By serving Srila Prabhupada in any way, knowingly or unknowingly, one is dear to Krishna. And one becomes eligible to receive this transcendental mercy. and be delivered from this material world. Focus our attention. Prabhupada finishes in the purport regarding Lord Shiva's taking the water on his head and how this is very powerful in regards to today's verse. Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, the meditative yogi should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a very long time. We don't need to artificially implement that. We just need to follow in the footsteps of Ambarish Maharaj and try to keep ourselves engaged as much as we can in devotional service, which is non-living. This is like the hand, the merciful hand of the Lord coming into this world. Take hold of that hand and it pulls back. Worship the deity nicely. Keep the temple clean. Keep your heart as clean as you can. Engage in service. Try to share Krishna consciousness with others. Only take Krishna prasadam. In other words, try to do things which will please Krishna, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And that would fulfill the object of meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. You can literally do it too. We used to go on Sankirtan in the early 70s. Nobody would go out without a picture of the lotus feet of the deity. Rather than the Shwar. Everywhere we go, we would always have that picture right in our top pocket or right next to us. We regularly pick it up and meditate on our feet to remind us what we're doing. What is it we're doing? What is it for? To offer everything at our lotus feet. To make those lotus feet our crown. And you can inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we'll finish there. Any comments or questions?
Raji, you just reminded me, I can't remember where I read it, but I haven't seen you for a while, it's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
I was just remembering that, you just reminded me, forgive me for not remembering where I was, about the fruit of Bhakti Yoga being ever-increasing self-realization.
Fruit of Bhakti Yoga ever-increasing?
Self-realization.
Self-awareness. Yeah, it is. That would be, and of course, in the beginning, the point is, I was making is that the fruit of Bhakti Yoga is ever-increasing self-realization. And what is self-realization? In the beginning, it may not take a form which is seemingly perhaps what people perceive as self-realization. It may take different forms. It's purification. There's preparation work. Before you eat a meal, there's so much preparation that takes place. It doesn't even look like anything valuable there at all. We've got a few cooks here. You know, you're buying something, you're chopping, you're cleaning something, you're cooking, you're cutting something, including your hand sometimes. And so many things are going on in the preparation. You know? Maybe there's some friction between the cook, the cutters or the cookers or whatever it is. The cooker's not working, but they're cleaning. There's so many things you may have to do before you really get the fruit of the work. But those who know that this is part of the process. Otherwise, we would think, what is this? I'm just cutting vegetables. It's, you know, what's the use of this? They're just unedible vegetables. I can't eat a raw potato. This is ridiculous. What's the use of this? I'm just cleaning a lump of metal. I want to eat. I want to taste the nectar. That's part of the process. In devotional service, there are many stages. Some of them seem negative. Where we kind of lose things, or just not, things aren't going well. We thought, oh my God, I chatted Hare Krishna and things aren't going well. You know, I lost my job, I fell down, my wife told me to get stuff. What's happening around here? Not that that has to happen, but sometimes certain things to clear the path have to be there. You know? Sometimes when there's a jungle, the path has to be cleared before you can start moving. And then step by step, you see the signs. You've got to know what the symptoms are. Self-realization is not just summing up with theories. It's a practical thing. And of course, on a higher platform, and as we move forward, then there will be maybe different symptoms will be there. But it's a fact. The practice of Bhakti Yoga develops, awakens sense. Krishna himself says in the fourth chapter, one who applies himself to this knowledge, realizes this knowledge in due course of time. Becomes realized that Kikshava Mandana is Shukankar. is seen or realized with one's own vision within, not just theoretical, but some truth. Experience. I may not be seeing Krishna here, there, and everywhere. There is Krishna, there is Krishna, there is Krishna. Where does he begin? Where does he end? It's like, where do the little Krishnas begin and end? But remember, when you look at something or somebody or something says something to us, we remember Krishna. It's Krishna's energy working. Even at work, when the boss gets on your case, it's Krishna's energy working. Maybe it's the mode of passion or ignorance, and you're in the mode of ignorance, or whatever. It's incompatible interaction. But it's still, it's Krishna's energy working there. And realize what you mean. What you're watching on the mind is not us, it's just the modes of nature. Karma, just showing us different reactions according to where we enter. It's like it's a television program, a very incredible one. And we're identifying with it, and thus we get affected by self-realization, includes not being so affected by it. We're out to say, thank you, Krishna. This is an opportunity to become free of this illusion. An opportunity to take shelter of you. That's where self-realization at a certain stage. There's many, many different angles. And Krishna's always working for the welfare of everyone. And the devotee is even more merciful. Even more merciful. Take that mercy, persevere, be patient. And can I keep saying anything else?
We just read in the purport that pure devotee is not different from the Lord himself. But isn't that something dangerous?
Yeah, it's misunderstood. It sounds like impersonalism or something. And unfortunately, without an understanding of what that means, it turns into impersonalism, and whole religions of the world today are going in that direction. Because they have very little, if any, understanding of the nature of God and what it means that the Lord and I are one. They don't understand the meaning. My brother said something like that in 1966, at the very first initiation in New York, the night before. And it was, many of you know the history. The world were not exactly prepared for initiation. It was like, who would like to take initiation tomorrow? Think about it. It might be, no. What does it mean? And then probably, what does it mean, probably, Swamiji? It means you have to accept the spiritual master as God. The bells went off. Because all along, Swamiji had been saying, and he'd been coming for 2 weeks, but during those 2 weeks, the older devotees who'd been coming for 2 weeks to Swamiji's lectures had heard Swamiji say, anyone who says that their God is dog. And now he's saying we've got to worship him as God. What does that mean? It blew my mind. I don't know. It blew me away. So they one of the devotees, Kitan, he wasn't initiated. But he said, well, in one sense, you're already worshipping him like that. What do you go and ask him? So they did go and ask Prabhupada. No, not ask God. As the representative of God, and therefore as a representative, you worship him like God. Just like if you know as the ambassador or something, you may or may not, but in one sense he represents the government, whichever government he's representing, you should worship and respect, not worship, and respect him as you would the government. You may not respect the government, so you won't respect the ambassador, but in principle you would. Or the queen sends some vice versa or something. They represent, so the spirit of us represent Krishna. They don't just represent Krishna, they're the gateway. They're the gateway by which we can, you know, access or come to Krishna. They carry Krishna in our hearts, they purify everything. They're full of Krishna's with every single thing. Krishna's manifesting through them. He appears, this is how we contact Krishna, through the pure devotees. Krishna manifests through the pure devotees of the Lord. He doesn't directly manifest himself, especially to persons who are impure. Through the pure devotees, he's manifesting. So the devotee understands this Chinchi Veda Veda Tap. They're one and different. One in purpose, they have no other objective other than to please Krishna, and to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. But different in the sense that they are the servant of God. Prabhupada's the servant of God. When the devotees went to Prabhupada in New York, Prabhupada had not got them as good as God. Because that is past time. It's the same in every walk of life. You know, you're working for a boss who's under a boss who's under a boss. And the boss you're working for is not the big boss, but he represents the big boss. You know, you can't directly go to the big boss, you have to go through to the boss who's under that time. It's a system, simple system. understanding. Otherwise, without an understanding of who the boss is, then you think my boss is the big boss. He's the only boss. And your little boss is not the big boss. Your little boss is the devil. And mine is the big boss. Your so-called big boss is not the big boss, he's the devil. And neither one of them know the big boss. They know the little boss. Sick, blind man who went with an elephant today. We all see the elephant differently and fight over it. Because they're all blind. Without understanding, without leadership, without leadership to explain, at least to help people on the path, like children on the path, and you get these misunderstandings. You think error is the absolute, is the big one. But it's not. Since the death is very small. Hare Krishna. Today is Bhishmastami. Is that the day that Bhishma ascended? Bhishmastami? I think it is. The day when he decided to quit his body. Bhishmastami. I think so. The sun is now in the northern direction and he spoke for some time and he left his body. I believe it's today. Anyway, if it's not, it's his birthday or it's his ascendant day or whatever it is. Jai Shri Prabhupada.